Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Daniel's friends went along with their Babylonian captors, but drew the line when their consciences told them to. Some life situations force us to make tough choices. Today, how to live by the Bible's principles when making them. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Erwin Lutzer is in Daniel chapter 1, looking at conflicts of conscience.
Stuart Briscoe said that when he was back in England, he was working in a bank, and the chief officer of the bank wanted him to do something that was really thievery. He basically wanted to steal from the customers. And Stuart, of course, would have nothing to do with that, but he said this to his superior: "If you want me to steal for you, what makes you think that I would not steal from you if I had the opportunity?" And that bank official began to think, you know, maybe eroding the character of those who work with me is not the best idea, because it has ramifications. It has implications. When it comes to some things, even such as whether or not you should attend this wedding or that wedding, there may not be an immediate answer. And by the way, there may be differences of opinion among Christians. You know, the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians basically devoted a chapter to the fact that some people have a conscience whereby they can eat meat offered to idols and others can't. And what he's saying is, give the people some space, because some people have a different view of viewing things than others. But listen carefully. We have to say to this generation that love and conscience are not in conflict. You see, sometimes we have people say, well, you know, if you were really loving, you would do A, B, C, D. Where's your love? Well, love is great, but it should never be opposed to my conscience. No matter what my personal conviction should be, love should always abound understanding, insight, the ability to be able to think clearly on this issue is so critical, and there may be a difference of opinion. But just because you're under pressure does not mean that you should ever violate your conscience. Because the Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. So for you it may be sin to do one thing, it may not be sin for the other, because he thinks that he can do it in faith. I'm talking now about issues that may not be entirely absolute. The absolutes we must obey. But exactly how we show love, where we go, who we connect with, God may give us some space and some freedom, just knowing that whatever is not of faith is sin. And then, of course, the bottom line. And I say that to all of these good-looking young people who are here today on the platform, not to mention all of the others that are out there. Don't want to leave anybody out. There comes a time when you draw a line in the sand, and then you simply take your lumps. Whatever happens, happens. You want me to bow down to worship? I refuse to do it. I've drawn the line in the sand. Hier stehe ich, ich kann nicht anders. All of you should know that, don't you? It's not Romanian. Here I stand, I can do no other. To go against conscience is neither right nor safe. And you take your lumps. And Luther thought that he would be put to death because of the decree of Charles V, who said anyone who finds him can kill him. But there are times when you simply take your stand, whether you get thrown in the den of lions. When Rebecca and I were in Germany, we've been both in what is known as the West and the East, and of course now it's unified, but there was a time when the East was under communism. We were there talking to a pastor in actually the church where Luther preached his last sermon, as a matter of fact. And it so happened that I had his last sermon there, and they actually allowed me to go onto the pulpit and preach a summary of it. But here's what he told us. He said, when communism came, the communists said, if you go to church, your kids can't go to university. You won't get the best job. You'll have to just be a laborer. And so what did people do? They basically buckled. Said, if that's the price of living and giving my kids a good education, we'll surrender and we'll go along with the state. But there were some people who drew a line in the sand and said, we will not stop associating ourselves as Christians. We will not give up our faith. We will not go with the communist line. And many of them were marginalized. Perhaps some of them were put to death and so forth. But let me ask you something. 1,000 years from now, in fact, a lot less than 1,000 years from now, who made the best decision? Who made the best decision? It's not those whose children were promoted, who were given a good education, though I understand that as a father and a grandfather. The best decision were those who stood and said, we refuse to surrender our rights to the state, and we will live for Christ and take the consequences. They were the wisest. In Germany. So what we must do is to seek God for wisdom, draw a line in the sand, and say, here we stand, even at great personal cost. Young people in universities, colleges, you must draw that line in the sand. You must resolve like Daniel and say, I refuse to be defiled. I refuse to be defiled. It's what Daniel said, and he lived up to it. Finally, it's important for us to understand the purposes of God in all of this. What was God's purpose in taking the Israelites to Babylon? Well, his purpose actually, he had two purposes, one for them and one for the Babylonians. The purpose for them, the Israelites, was that God says, I'm not here to destroy you. You remember chapter 29, verse 11, if you were here last time? For God says, I am not here to destroy you. I am here to bless you and to give you a future and a hope. I'm here not to destroy you, but I am here to refine you because of your idolatry and turning away from me. But my intention toward you who survived here is good. I want to humble you, not destroy you, but humble you. Did you know that that is God's agenda for the church today? We look around and everything that has been nailed down is being torn up. Every day on the news, some new domino falls. The question is, what do we do? What is God saying? God is saying, I am humbling you. I'm bringing you down to give you a future and a hope. That's his goal for the church. As for the culture at large, it's our responsibility to witness to them. Tim Keller said some very interesting things about the exile that we're speaking about here. What does this mean for Christians, the fact that we are losing so many battles? He says Christians should be humbled before the new pagan pluralistic situation. Just as with the exiles, the situation is due in large part to our own failings. The church did not lose its position of privilege simply because of evil enemies of the faith. We lost our position as part of God's judgment on our pride, our hypocrisy, our love of power, our prejudice, our bigotry, and failure to hold on to the truth. And so he says that this is the way in which God gets people's attention. And then he says, and what a rebuke this is, but we need to hear it. We must be far harder on ourselves in gracious, humble repentance than we are on the unbelieving culture around us. That was a major lesson for the exiles and for us. Our first response should be repentance. We should be very understanding toward people, catch this now, toward people who have failed to believe in Christ because of the weakness of the church's testimony. A lot more of what is happening in our culture today may be our fault than we are willing to admit. I want to talk and end in just a moment by reminding you that Jesus was crucified in weakness. There weren't a whole lot of people on his side when he died on the cross. And yet, Jesus, in being crucified in weakness, imagine that seed falling into the ground and the marvelous fruit that it brought forth. In the very same way, we are today, as a church, culturally weak. Few people pay attention to us. Oftentimes we are despised, sometimes for good reasons, sometimes not. The question is, are we willing to be weak for the sake of the gospel? And if you're here today and you're not quite sure how Jesus Christ, in his weakness, brought about the great victory of his redemption, remember that when he died on the cross, his death was a sacrifice for sinners. And some of you who are listening to this have to hear that, because you came with a troubled conscience. And your conscience is troubled because of your sin. Jesus has a good cure for sin. In substituting himself in our place, he died that we might have eternal life. And all that we have to do is to receive that eternal life by faith. And when we do, we become his children. And suddenly we realize we are children of our Father in heaven. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that in a confused culture, help us to live wisely. May we not defile ourselves. And give us wisdom as we make decisions regarding conflicts of conscience, both to be lenient when we should be, and yet at the same time, to draw a line in the sand and delightfully and joyfully pay the consequences. We love you. May there be people today who believe on Christ, that they might be children of the Most High. We pray in his name. Amen. My friend, I'm so glad that you joined us today on Running to Win. This is Pastor Lutzer. By the way, the next message in this series is entitled, When the State Becomes God. But today, I'm concerned about you and your walk with the Lord. Are you making compromises that pollute your conscience? Do you know that when we begin to take a stand and when we deal honestly with our issues, God walks with us? Even if it causes your boss to be displeased, even if it may, and I speak very kindly here, it may cost you your job if you're in the wrong job, God will honor your commitment to integrity and truth. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego proved that. And God today is with us in these conflicts of conscience. Let's live for him and take the consequences, and he'll be there to bless us.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Conflicts of Conscience, the eighth message in a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Next time, find out what happens when the state becomes God. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD. We'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.